The words which we read from John 9 are found in the middle of a familiar account to us of the man born blind, as Jesus heals the man born blind. John 9, 4 to 5. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Thank you for these words of truth, O Lord, and now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. What if you were given 86,000 every day? What would you do with it? How would you use it? You maybe have heard the illustration before. Suppose that there was a bank account with your name on it and that there was $86,000 that were placed into that account every single day. But there's a catch, and that is that at the end of the day, there couldn't be any remaining balance at all. It couldn't carry over to the next day. If there was a loss, in other words, if you hadn't used it or used it properly and so on, well, you couldn't draw on it the next day. That's an illustration that has been used for the bank of time when we get 86,400 seconds given to us every day. Interesting illustration, isn't it? Of course, because you can't draw on it again for the next day. But it does fall short, doesn't it? If we analyze it really as Christians, it can fall short in two ways. Because first of all, if we're going to look at it from a law perspective, God's law perspective, we have to realize that it isn't just a matter of drawing down the bank account to zero, a zero balance, if you didn't use the time, the seconds properly that way. No, we realize that really, because of the fact that the Bible tells us that even sins of omission too, as well as sins of commission, are grievous sins in the eyes of God. Anyone who knows the sin that he, or anyone who knows the good that he ought to do but doesn't do it, sins. And so we know that really there would be a moral and spiritual bankruptcy when there is time wasted. Even for a part of every day that way. And so when it comes to the law, really, that illustration falls short because it isn't just a matter of a zero balance, shall we say, in the bank account, and then you go to the next day. But when it comes to analyzing this illustration, especially from the gospel account, the great news in Holy Scripture, it doesn't tell us, it doesn't point out to us that we have a tremendously huge benefactor, our Lord Jesus Christ, who is so great as a benefactor that he takes care of the bankruptcy issue, of course, through his holy precious blood. And it wasn't gold and silver to put in there. It was his holy precious blood. And that's so powerful. And then on top of that, he takes his full account and then he credits it to our account. And this is regularly for us, day in, day out. Even though he did all of this really once for us. Truly amazing, isn't it? And it's more than enough for us to draw on for joy-filled daily living. We see that here in our text. Our Lord Jesus and his disciples had come across a blind man, and you know the incident, I think, fairly well, and that is, remember that the disciples asked the Savior, well, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And then Jesus replied, well, no, that wasn't the case. It wasn't from a specific sin that this came upon the man. Oh, blindness, of course, like all illnesses, come from sin in general and so on. But Jesus let him know that he was using this incident, God allowed this blindness to happen to this man because God was going to work a tremendous thing in his life. And you and I know what a great miracle this was, that he healed the man from his blindness. Tremendous. But more. You read John chapter 9, long chapter. It's interesting that our Lord Jesus talks about the works of God to be manifested in this guy's life. It's in the plural. Because the man comes to faith in Jesus as a Savior, as you read there. His parents get involved, so it's got an impression on his parents as well. We also know that Jesus uses this whole matter of the healing of the physical blindness to teach a powerful lesson when it comes to spiritual blindness and the need for the unbelieving Pharisees, especially in that case, for all of us in the world, to have Jesus heal that, especially more than ever. And then on top of that, we could say, well, this incident too has certainly been used worldwide, hasn't it? Around the globe, regularly, as people preach on this text, year after year, John 9. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work, Jesus says. He's referring, of course, to his own works this way, but then we would have to say that there is a variant reading here, which could also be the case. Some translations have it, we must do the work that God has given us while it is still day, and so on. Whichever way you take this, and there's good attestation for either variant here, we are to understand this in this way. And that is, there is only so much time. Whether you're thinking of our Lord Jesus with his life, and how he came into this world to live the holy life for all of us, how he suffers and dies at the cross, how he rises from the dead and then ascends into heaven, and in time still is going to come back as the glorious judge of the whole universe. Or whether we think of how he still carries out his work with his disciples and all of us that way too until that time comes. And isn't it interesting that in one of the general prayers, we often prayed this, that God would have us do the work that he has given us to do while it is day, before the night comes when no one can work. Words taken from our text. So how are we doing on the time management issue? As we're in the last part of the church year here, very last part, it's good for us, isn't it, for each one of us to do reflecting. And I can tell you this, that I'm 60 years of age now, and as I get older, and even for you as young people too, probably it's true that even right now, you look back on high school time and junior high and things like that too, and you could probably be wondering, did I really use my time as properly as I should? The sins of omission can start to pile up for us in our minds. Have we really spent the time, and do we regularly spend the time that we ought to when it comes to our prayers to the Lord and our devotion, reading Holy Scripture and taking great comfort and strength from that every day of our life in our private times? How about, too, are we looking for opportunities to grow relationships with one another, to help them out? Are we taking a look at the opportunities that are before us and making use of those to speak to one another about the greatest news of all, that Jesus is our Savior, especially to those that don't even know him as the Savior? Are we also taking the time to actually thank our God for even tragic situations that can develop in our life? Because we know this, we're to trust that he's going to use it for our good, thinking of exactly what happened in our text with the blind man. We have to admit, ka-ching, 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 right? We're at a loss. We know we have a bankruptcy that doesn't go away for us if we're to look to ourselves for hope. There's a loss there. And yet, this is the greatest news. And it's right there in the text for us. We have a tremendous benefactor. And our Lord Jesus Christ, you see, in this account, as he heals the blindness of this man, really is the one who's healing the blindness for the whole world, really. Thinking of spiritual blindness and so on that way. He is the one who has the all power. And you see, Jesus was here not just giving us a fine example of how, when he says these words about, I must do the works of him who sent me while it is day, night is coming and no one can work, how he is very consciously making sure that he's following what the Heavenly Father does this way for his time of grace, the 33 years, you could say, on this earth. No, that's not just it, that he's our example that way. He is our substitute. Fantastic. While he is carefully fulfilling every aspect of God's law, no wasted time for our Savior's life, He's doing this for you and for me and for all people. And he credits that abundant mercy and grace to our account every day of our life on this earth. God is, of course, above all time. I mean, he is eternal, of course. With him, there's no time that way. But he created a world with time. And he gives us the wonderful gift of time. But isn't it interesting to note that as he gives us the gift of time, he works with it in a very powerful way for our life. He invests himself in our world of time by having his own son come at the right time, when the fullness of time had come. God sent forth his son. God's timing has everything to do with the light, capital L, the light, our Lord Jesus Christ, who in our text says he's the light of the world. We know that we see this in the account where he is there as the light for the blind man. We see it for each one of us sinners insofar as he is certainly our light, who has given us that holy gospel message, his wonderful forgiveness of sins, as he's brought it to us in holy baptism, as he continues to bring us through the preaching of his word, as he continues in the Lord's Supper, giving us his very body and blood. Jesus Christ, our light and life, is still beaming with his grace for our time of grace, however long that may be. None of us knows. He is still holding it out. And as we're embracing this grace, just think of what it says about the light and what we're going to be able to enjoy. The eternal life in heaven is described this way in Revelation 22. It says, there will be no night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they, that's us as believers in Christ, we will reign forever and ever. Won't you agree with me that, friends, that's a time bank with a balance right now moving us to want to go forward on a real spending spree for our Lord. Amen.